notes, Doug, who is very fit and he's got over the flu. Doug, would you give those out to the people who haven't got notes before they put their hand up there?
I'm just about to have it.
Anyone need one? We have put 100 pencils out. There are pencils in all the rows, and you will need a pencil, whether you want to learn it or not, won't matter, but they're all there. The pencils are in boxes in the middle of the row, in front of you. There's some ladies with their hands up here. Oh, there's more. More out in the foyer. Now, when I was at college learning how to be a teacher, which would be how many years ago, please?
93.
I see. I'm going to get my own back on all you. One of the things that I had instilled into me is when you go to give a talk, you create a hunger for learning from the people you are talking to. So right now, I hope to create a hunger for learning from you. We are talking today about spiritual gifts. If you know what your gift is, please raise your hand. Two people in the whole of this church. I'll do it again then. If you know what your gift is, raise your hand. Right, thank you. We are dealing with spiritual gifts today and how to find out what they are and how to use them and how important they are. When I came to tell people that we were teaching about the Holy Spirit and theology in our church, I got some most interesting answers. People said to me, "Why are you having 7 lessons on the Holy Spirit? I'm sure we could get through in about 2, you see." And other people said to me, when I said I was dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, "You are heading for trouble. That is controversial." I even got a letter from someone saying, "What are you going to say?" So I thought that was quite interesting. So I've put up here the sessions we're going to have with regard to the Holy Spirit. Tom McIver has done an overview. Bernie Deglis has done the deity. I'm looking at the gifts. Then comes Peter doing the fruit of the Spirit. John Fenton is doing the names of the Spirit. And Doug Russell, who's a wee bit out of place there in the list, I'm sorry, Doug, but that's all right. He is doing the baptism and the filling, and Nigel is doing the apostles and the prophets. And to be quite honest, we could go on for twice as long on the Holy Spirit. We really could. So I began to think about this. Why all the negative comments when I said I was going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit? And I've got some reasons that I've been talking about, and the elders have also been discussing. We find there are more church divisions caused by Holy Spirit studies than any other thing that causes a division in a church. So when people know that it causes divisions, they shy clear of the teaching. These days there are people in churches from different church backgrounds. Like at Rosedale, there are a number of people from different churches, and they have different interpretations of some of the aspects of the Holy Spirit. And so you could argue for hours and hours and hours about the differences. All I'm trying to say today is that can be unprofitable discussion, and there are more important things with regard to the Holy Spirit to deal with. And it's all very strange, you see, that you've got these differences, because the Holy Spirit and the gifts are for the building up of the church, not for the tearing of it apart. So I've been talking to a few people, and I got hold of Malcolm Barrow, who you know very well. And I said, "Malcolm, what's the problem here? What are you finding around the country?" And he said, "It's the devil's ploy to get people involved on the differences between us rather than all that is positive." So today I hope to deal with the positive. And if you've got differences, come and talk to myself or an elder or whoever, and let's, in love, try and sort some of the things out. But let Rosedale exist as a harmonious group when it comes to these things. So I wrote to Malcolm, and I rang Malcolm Barrow, and he wrote back to me. And he says, "Dear Paul, shalom." What does shalom mean? Greeting. "Great to hear you the other day. I wonder if you read the book, Let's Stop Fighting About the Holy Spirit." So he's going to send it to me, righto? "Enclosed is a book, Corinthian Catastrophe." And this is the book that covers the difficulties that Paul wrote about. "You may keep it, but I expect you to take me out for coffee next time I'm in a cargo. That's if the brothers could put up with me again." The brothers are the elders. And if they invite him again, he'll come down and I'll have to take him out for coffee. "Love in the Lord to you all in Christ, Milk." Well, there we are. We need to accept that there are differences. And here at Rosedale, we're going to be trying to sort out any differences, but we're also going to be majoring on the positive things today. Shall we pray? Father, we just realise as we come to discuss the person of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that we have been given, we need to have our hearts and our eyes open to your truth. And we pray that as we go through today's study and as we talk about it later, everything will be done in love, as love is the most lasting gift of all. And so we commit ourselves to you and we ask for a blessing in Christ's name. Amen. Last week we had an esteemed speaker here. So I snuck out to the notice board and took his photograph, you see. And Bernie spoke on the deity of the Holy Spirit. And as he usually does when I give him a subject, he says, "Why give me that one? Why can't you give me something easy?" He said, "I know nothing about the deity of the Holy Spirit." But when I listened to his talk on the internet during the week, he started off by saying, "I didn't want to do this talk, but I have learned so much as I have done it." So I thought that was great, and I thought, I'll put up his first slide again, because this is what was kind of new to Bernie. When the Holy Spirit speaks, God speaks. When the Holy Spirit acts, God acts. When the Holy Spirit performs miracles, God performs miracles. And when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the life of the believer, it is God who comes. That is an essential doctrine of the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer here today, the Holy Spirit indwells you and the Holy Spirit is God. That's scary, and it should make us all take great attention as we study these workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So there's a key Bible passage, and I think I've put that on your notes, and I've left a bit of room for some putting down of references and the like, but this is a key passage that follows on from what Bernie told us about. Corinthians 12, 4-6, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Father, Son, and Spirit, what we call the Trinity, work together to promote the work of the Holy Spirit." And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he accepts the fact that we are to be Spirit-filled, and he distributes them in the service of the church. And when we do this, it is God who empowers them. And so we all have the Holy Spirit indwelling, and here's as simple as I can make it. When the Holy Spirit indwells, it's two believers and it's from God. And that's what we need to take real notice of today. And so here's a wee picture that I've got in your notes, I think. A spiritual gift is an expression of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers, which empowers them to serve the body of Christ, the church. So if you are a Rosedale member here in the church, the Holy Spirit is to empower you to serve in the church. That's why I said at the start, put up your hands if you can tell me what your gift is. Because how can we serve the church if we don't know what our gift is? And so that's the challenging thing that we're going to be looking at today. And there's the picture, which I thought is a pretty fair one. It shows a picture of a church. You notice in the steeple there, hospitality is ringing out. Hospitality is one of the most essential gifts of the Spirit in the church. And then you'll see there's teaching and evangelism and exhorting and praying and ministry and the like. So let's look now at the case for spiritual gifts. In Corinthians 12:1, it says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." The word ignorant in the Greek here means having a lack of knowledge. So Paul is saying to the Corinthians, I'm going to teach you about spiritual gifts. You need to know about them. So this little cartoon I've got here is quite pertinent. Is it a right to remain ignorant? I don't know, but I refuse to find out. And see, when it comes to spiritual gifts, a lot of people are like that. They don't want to find out, because then if they do, they've got to start exercising their gift in the church. Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant. You need to find out. And then he says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Isn't that challenging? Every one of us here who's a believer has been given a manifestation of the Spirit in the form of a gift or two for the common good, for the good of us all. So let's take another little look at this. It says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as God has appointed it. You see, I've got this guy who's a power lifter. And see that big spread of food he's got there? As he takes that food, he will gain in strength and be able to do his work. When we have been given a gift from God, the food he's given us to enable us to put that gift into practice is called his grace. And he has given us sufficient grace to perform every gift that he's given us. That's what it means. And what is the purpose of this? It's to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. I don't know whether any of you watched the yacht race this morning, but in between things, Dawn and I had it on, and here, Lona Rossa broke one of its stays, you see. The cords and the rope broke and something failed. They lost their power and they were out of the race. Well, the case for spiritual gifts said we are to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body can be built up. See that rope there? It's got different coloured strands. And if you like, every strand is one of you people or myself. And the more strands that work together, the stronger the rope. That's a very simple analogy, but man, it's on the ball, isn't it? And here's the next little case from the Bible. It says, just as each one of us has one body with many members, And these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Where's that young guy? Hey, man, come out here. You're an intelligent boy. Come stand right up here. Hands out of your pockets, please. Okay. One body. Okay. Give him a clap, please. Okay. Many members. Hold up a member. Hold up another member. Another one. Point to another one. Point to another one with the other hand. No, I mean... Okay, you got the idea. One body, you can take it down there, many members, and they are all needed. If he didn't have that hand, he couldn't be pointing, right? Put up your hand, put up the finger. A little finger indicated where he was pointing. So important and valuable, you see? Thank you very much. You'll grow up to be like your father. Now, there's the picture. You can see in that little picture there, there's a lady who's caring for someone else with a wheelchair, Sally. Great. Thank you, carer. There's someone who's a cook. There's someone who's playing the piano. There's someone who's preaching. But would you please notice that all the arrows point in. All these are services to help develop the church and help it to grow. Further case for spiritual gifts. How long do they last for? Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. Until we reach unity in the faith, until we attain the full knowledge of the Son of God, until we become mature, until we attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's quite a statement. How long are the gifts to be in operation for? Until we reach unity in the faith. Until all the believers in the church have a strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something we're going to only achieve when the Lord comes, really. So we're going to work at it until then. How long do we use spiritual gifts for? Until we attain the full knowledge of the Son of God. This is not knowledge in our head. This is epinosis in the Greek, which means an experiential knowledge. Until we're putting everything into practice, you see. Until we become mature Christians. I'll try again. Hands up, please, any mature Christian here. Thank you, Mr. Perry. Are you completely there yet? Okay. Excuse me, may I ask how old you are?
85.
Is there anyone older here? Right, you've got to keep going until you get his age. At least. Until we're mature. And he's still going. See, there's no end to it. Until we attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We only attain that, I believe, when we meet the Lord in glory. So our gifts are in operation until we die. There's a road which wanders away into the hills, and we're on a journey. And while we're on that journey, the Bible says we are to exercise spiritual gifts, no matter how far along the road we are. Well, for the believer, there may be a change of roles, but no retirement is envisaged in the New Testament. As we get older, I mean, I'll be stopping teaching soon. And I will change my gift from public teaching to private teaching. And maybe when I'm on a hospital bed or in a home, I'll still be able to teach. But what it's getting at is there's no retirement. When you retire from work, you don't retire from active service in serving the Lord. So there's a list of gifts. If you're interested, go home and look up Google. And on Google, put spiritual gifts, and you'll get hundreds of lists from different people and different churches who have different lists in different orders. If I can show you here, this is a reasonable kind of list. Is this on or off? Stop going. Doesn't matter. It's turned off. What? It's making that go. Okay. What have I done now? I need some. I think I've gone from. I'm going to put this thing down. Slideshow. No, I'll start from that slide from current side. I need a gift of the Spirit here. Okay, I'll put that down. You'll see there that some of them are in italics. For example, in the first list, you see prophecy in ordinary case, and in the second list, you've got prophecy in italics, and in the list four, it's in italics. What I'm trying to say is some gifts are mentioned in three or four places, and some just in one, and they're in different order. It's really, really saying to us that God has put these gifts here, and there's no particular way or order in which they're to be expressed. And I personally believe that God is free and able to use these gifts, or even new ones if he wants to, according to the climate that we're in today. So I wanted to tell you that at Rosedale here, some 20 years ago, we did this study and we put out a list of spiritual gifts. And it's going to be available for you. But from Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians and Peter, there are 20 gifts. And they can be placed in three groups. And this is how we did them at Rosedale. Did I put that in your notes? Maybe I didn't, but I've left it out in the foyer for you anyway. We believed then that there were foundation gifts, and the Bible says the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, it's interesting to note that the word apostle and prophets, they still appear in other lists, and many people today believe that they could still carry on. All I would say was an apostle was a person who had seen the Lord and been with him, and I don't think there are any of those available today. The word prophets, I think, has a number of meanings, and we'll find out about that, and it could well be a useful gift today. Then there were the accompanying sign gifts that in those days verified the church and what the Lord Jesus and the disciples were doing. Healings and miracles and languages and interpretation. We will not be dealing a whole lot with those today, but I'm quite happy, and so are elders and others, to talk to people who want explaining there. It says in Hebrews, God also testified to it, that's the church, by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. God's prerogative to distribute gifts. And we're going to be majoring today in the next quarter of an hour on the ministry gifts that build up the church. You'll see them there. And altogether, there are 20 that can be applied, we believe. But over them all, it says here, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, if we have differing opinions and people get twisted and upset by what some people are saying, would you please remember in Corinthians 13 it says, over all these is love. And if we have love over our differences, this church will remain a strong unity and we'll work together and we will grow in the Lord. So, why did I want you to want a pen and some notes? This is optional, but as I briefly explain, each of the gifts that we're feeling are appropriate. If you say to yourself, not me, put a circle around the cross. If you say, it's possible, I haven't really thought about it, put a circle around the one. If you say, it is you, definitely, and that's me, put a circle around the five. Or somewhere in between. Now you can do it as I speak, don't mind. You might feel like covering over so no one else sees, but that's all right, let's be open about this. And you can go through and do those, and there's the two lists there. So that's the wee exercise. And let me now start to talk to you quickly about the gifts. There is leadership. Leadership is the gift that's given to people to take over part of the church, knowing its goals and purposes, and motivate people together towards a common goal. EJ and her team did that with Bounce, okay? And that was a good example of the exercise of leadership in our church. Is EJ here somewhere still? She's gone away. Okay. Where did you put the circle, EJ?
Leadership.
Yeah, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Isn't that good, eh? She got room to go. Right, yeah. That's the kind of exercise I'd like you to have a try at. Don't be shy. Administration. Administration is the gift to lead a body by keeping others in the right direction and on task. It enables the body to organise according to the purposes and long-term goals. All sorts of ways here. The chairman of the different groups can be this kind of person, you see? And I believe these days those with technical skills can be in this. There's Andrew up there in the box. Hi, Andrew. He's got special technical skills that help us to have a service that's running in good order and the right sound and the like. These are the skills that are needed in the church. And then there's teaching. You know exactly what that means. But this is not necessarily me or Doug or anyone getting up on the pulpit. This is a God-given ability to teach, and it may well be privately or in a small group or whatever. But it's taking God's word and interpreting it. And then there's knowledge. Knowledge is the special gift to explain or be able to explain the special truths of God's word. A special gift to enable people to do that. And then there's the gift of wisdom. Wisdom is a gift that discerns the work of the Holy Spirit in the body and applies his teachings to the actions and needs. I don't want to sound silly here, but I believe our sisters, the women among us, often have a better gift of discernment than some of us men. And I think that's a God-given skill. I have got to take notice of Dawn sometimes when she says to me, I'm uneasy about such and such. And if Dawn says that, I will take notice of it, because I think that could be a gift of discernment that she has. And then the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is not these days adding to God's word, but it's someone who's prepared to stand up boldly and proclaim what God's word is, and even putting together the future events and trying to convince us as to what they all are. And then there's the gift of discernment. Discernment is how to recognise the true intentions of those within the body. If someone comes and says, I want to serve here or serve there, those with discernment will investigate and say, yes, you are suited in this place or you're suited in that place, and so the body can be built up. And then there's exhortation. Doug Russell stands up here sometimes and exhorts us, especially if we're not singing terribly well or whatever. But that is a gift, a good counsellor. And exhortation can exhibit itself in preaching and teaching and ministry. I saw Chris go out the door there with his wee baby. Chris gets up when he speaks, and when he speaks, have you realised everyone takes notice? Straight away. That could be a gift of exhortation. He's got that kind of ability to do that. And then there's the pastor, teacher, a gift of shepherding. This is where the elders or the pastors fit in. Those who look out for the spiritual welfare of others. And so we go on. There's the gift of faith. The gift of faith is a person who is confident that God will do certain things. And their gift of faith encourages us all, you see, to go and step out for the Lord. And then there's the gift of evangelism. Need to tell you about that gift. I had Eric Simmons come to me after the last prison ministry. And he said to me, that guy Tuya, who came down to the prison, he has got a special gift from the Lord. And then we're having coffee and he got interrupted. So last night I rang Eric and I said, what did you mean by saying Tuya had a special gift from the Lord? And he said, he got up in the prison and he started talking about his carpentry business and how you had to have a good foundation there. And he said then he applied that to life and a good foundation. And he said he had those prisoners with him. And he's got a great big smile that goes from there to there. And his gift was absolutely evident. That's the kind of thing that we're meaning, you see. And in our midst, there are people with the gift for evangelism. And the gift of apostleship, I don't think that can really be the same as the New Testament one. But I don't doubt that God sends out special people to special places these days to do his service. And then there's the gift of service and helps. This is the group that has people who are encouragers among us. They see the practical needs and they want to give joyful assistance. Christians with this gift do not mind working behind the scenes. Do you realise that someone comes in here every Saturday morning and luxes the whole place out, picks up the papers, gets all the place tidy, and they do it every week without complaining, and that's a gift of the Lord, I do believe. And we need it, you see. And then there's the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy sees members who are hurting, and they get alongside them and seek to help them and keep the body of the church healthy. And then there's the gift of giving. This is the gift when people are endowed with blessings from the Lord as far as finance is concerned, and they're able to give, but not just money, it can be cakes or baking or whatever, you see. What a great list of gifts we have. And then there's the gift of hospitality. This was the spire of the cathedral, and the gift of hospitality emanated out round the community, you see. The ability to make visitors and guests and strangers feel at ease. Persons with this gift integrate new members into the body. And so hospitality is something which is of huge importance in our church. It can be from for young or old or in our home or in our church. And here's a wee summary of it. God has gifted you with an expression of his Holy Spirit to support his vision and mission in the church. It's a worldwide vision to reach all people with the gospel. As a servant or leader, God desires that you know how he's gifted you. This will lead you to where he would have you serve as part of his church. Ooh, look at that. That is a beautiful birthday cake. Why have I put that there? There's a wee story. We bought one for our son, Matthew, about last Friday, just about, wasn't it? And when we got home, the cream was yellow and the cake was a bit dry, so we only ate a part of it, would you believe? And then it was my birthday, and we got another one, and it was just beautiful, you know, all fresh and the like. And I thought, I'll just ring up the cake kitchen and tell them about this first one. And the lady said, oh, we're having trouble with the cream. Come down, I'll give you another one. So at search on Thursday night, we had another cream cake. Yeah. But then Mike O'Rourke, who usually sits down in the back there, said, oh, I've bought another one too. You see? And he said, I've taken it out into the country. And I said to him, what did you do with that cake? He said, I actually bought one of those cakes and I took it out to Rosie Perry. Why did he do that? He said, because she's got a gift of hospitality. And every time she's on, she has 20 or 30 people out there for a meal on Sunday. Isn't that encouraging? There's little Mike on a big Mike with a little cake. And Rosie was recognised by him and he took it all the way out. This is putting the gifts of the church into action. And if we didn't recognise that, it would be like an unfinished jigsaw puzzle, an incomplete picture in the church. So isn't that a real challenge to everyone? This is what Timothy is told, but keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. He says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. Here's Paul finishing his course. I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award you on that day. And not to me only, but to all who have longed for his appearing. The Lord is going to reward us for our gift keeping, I do believe. Ephesians says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. If you're a teenager, enjoy being a teenager. Get together in your teenage clothes. Have a great time at young people's. But act wisely and carefully, because the days are evil. If you're a family person with a family, same thing applies. Sort out God's gifts and seek to serve him with a whole heart. And if you're getting near a retirement home, same thing applies. There is no retirement in God's service. Keep ministering his gifts. So there we are. What's my gift? I haven't noticed many of you with your pencils putting crosses and circles. That is okay. Take it home and have a look at it. But I thought, I've left space for notes, you see. And it says here, if you've got a 3 for leadership, or administration, or teaching, a little note you could make was, I'm going to talk to the elders about this, and where they see me. If you feel you can help with hospitality and service and the like, and maybe you put a tick by 4, maybe I'll join the welfare committee. The welfare committee struggles for gifted people to help, you see. And that would be good. We know. And if you are wealthy or have goods of this world, maybe I'll review my giving. So go home and prayerfully put a little note beside where you think God has given you a gift. He has given you one. If your gift is hospitality, go home and think, who can I invite to home? You know, I mean, Dawn and I, we used to do this every Sunday, and we have got a bit slack, and we got a bit tired as well. So now Dawn's working out ways of having simple meals that Paul doesn't have to do the dishes after, and we'll be able to invite more people home. Big issue. So out in the foyer now as you go home is Rosedale's original list of gifts. Sorry? They're given out. Right. They weren't supposed to be given out until people went out because it wasn't enough. But that's all right. Take hold of those and take them home, and on the back of it there's a key you can fill in. Let us look at verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the household of faith. That is really encouraging. There is a church being built. Quite a gorgeous picture. I mean, Stuart out there has got a shed built, haven't you, Stuart? It's building. And you have lots of people helping.
Yes.
Dozens of them. All right, be a big opening. There's a church being built. I thought it was quite gorgeous. They all got sun hats on. But everyone there is doing something, either pulling a rope or up on the roof or the like, you see? And that church will be built. May that be Rosedale as we all get together and do this. Now, I might be unpopular here. Would you dare, at morning tea time while you're having coffee, go to your friend and say, what's your gift? Or, where did you put a circle? Can I help you find your gift so that we can all serve us well in the church? And I'm going to run away at coffee time. Anyway, it's all encouraging. Doug, we're going to sing a song to finish.
Yeah.
And I hope this is better than the first one we sang. And here's another lady with a gift. Look. You listen to... Oh, there's another one. And you'll see that there's discussions for home groups. One interesting question. What's the relationship between a spiritual gift and a natural talent? That's worth looking at. Thank you, Doug. I'm going to stand here and listen.
Do you want a microphone?
No, thanks.
Server is the Saviour. Thank you, Andrew. That's the one that Paul rang me about this morning. And this is one that I was humming all night. And then he rings me this morning about. Isn't that amazing? So, it was really good. A server is the Saviour. He's in the world today. I know that he's loving. Let's sing it together, shall we?
Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, I thank you for Paul Gay. I thank you for the message he's given us this morning. And we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord God, we acknowledge that he does live within our lives. We acknowledge that because your Holy Spirit lives within our lives, you live within our lives. We thank you, Lord, for that. Father, we ask for guidance. We ask for guidance today. We ask for guidance for tomorrow. That we will honour you with our gifts that you have bestowed upon us. Father, help us not to boast, but to be loving and merciful to serve you in the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I
would like
to say that one of my gifts is not reaching out.